Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
I thoroughly enjoy talking to you, Nancy, because you ask such great questions. You take my mind to places I wouldn't normally go. And so it's great because it expands me. And you're so articulate. And I think you're really tuned in. I think you really have a grasp about the bigger things. I mean, obviously, the business piece and all this, the physical earth things that you are involved in. But then this bigger wisdom piece, I think you have that. And so it's always such a pleasure to speak with you. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. I finished a We Meditate with Nancy lab that included 4 meditation sessions recently. If you were one of the lucky ones, you decided to join me. Thank you. You can find the 4 meditation sessions in the resource section of this episode. If you would like to go through the 4 meditation labs, I would love to have you try that out because there's so many benefits, even if you do it for a few minutes, not the full 20 minutes. Every time you stop to take some time for yourself, it's just always beneficial. So after you do meditation for a while, little gremlins can kind of show up. And these are the 5 enemies of meditation. I'm going to share them with you, give you ideas for what you can do about them. I've experienced them all. And then we can meditate for 10 minutes at the end of my conversation today. So just find yourself in a relaxed situation. If you're driving, you know, stop this and then pull over or just finish the meditation at a different part of your day when it's not to be done while you're driving. Science has caught up with this centuries-old practice, so I'd like to start by going over some of the benefits of meditation. Some of the information I got from Headspace, which is a great app. Any type of mood that you're in, they have like a meditation for it. It's phenomenal. But when we sit to meditate, according to Headspace and other meditation resources, we're looking after ourselves in ways that might not at first even seem obvious. Over time, not only do you notice the benefits, but others in your life notice it too. Like Matthew will tell me, so when was the last time you meditated? Oh, God. Yep, we all have our little, and I do the same with him, you know, because he does more yoga and does meditating, but not quite the way I do. You can do meditation through yoga, but I need to meditate on my own. So many people start meditating to manage stress, reduce anxiety, and to cultivate peace of mind. There are 3 main areas that the research is kind of organized under for you to get the most benefit from meditation. So these findings are supported by thousands of scientific studies, concluding the positive impact on your mental, physical, and emotional health and well-being on those who work meditation into a daily or regular practice. And you can go to the Headspace. I have the meditation benefits that you can go to for Headspace. They've got it outlined beautifully and a lot of research behind what they're doing if you would like more details. But I just wanted to kind of give you an overview. So the first one is mental health benefits. So increased awareness, clarity, compassion, and a sense of calm. That's the first mental health benefit. You can improve your focus over 4 weeks of practice by 14%. according to Headspace, and cut mind wandering by 22%. In a study at Johns Hopkins University, researchers found general meditation programs helped ease psychological symptoms of depression, anxiety, and pain-related stress. A published study conducted at Google and Roche, in which employees used Headspace for 8 weeks, had similar results. Participants reported a 46% reduction in depression and a 31% reduction in anxiety. So the mental health benefits are really, really, you know, important. The physical benefits of meditation, this has to do with managing chronic stress and also chronic pain. Like I find just getting into the sitting position used to be hard when I first started because who sits on the floor very often? But I decided to sit on the floor, and you don't have to if you can't, but to get, you know, and then a pillow underneath or something so that you get your hips above your knees because that's better for your lower back. So over time, you kind of relax your muscles more so I can get my knees down farther, which has been kind of a wonderful thing. So stress stimulates the sympathetic nerve system, causing a surge of natural stress hormones. So if you think about the epinephrine and cortisol in the bloodstream, which can negatively affect the body. For example, too much epinephrine or adrenaline can increase the risk of heart attacks and strokes. Too much cortisol can increase blood sugar levels, suppress the immune system, and constrict blood vessels. So eventually, chronic spikes in stress hormones can lead to an increase in blood pressure, heart rate, and cholesterol levels, disrupting immunity, energy levels, and your sleep. And God knows we're, you know, in so much stress right now with this COVID pandemic continuing on and on and on. And so we need different, it affects us all a little bit differently as we're, you know, trying to just manage our day and the processes of something that, you know, feels like it'll never end. So when the body and the mind are relaxed, whether through meditation practice or other techniques, the parasympathetic nervous system is stimulated, causing the body to stop releasing stress hormones. So many people who meditate regularly have learned to condition their body to relax on demand. Yep. Your body relaxes on demand. That is really kind of something I've been playing around with for a while now. And I'm doing it more deliberately to just test myself every now and then when I'm feeling a lot of anxiety. Yeah. So anyways, have fun with that for yourself. And the third benefit is an emotional benefit of meditation. The brain is the part of the body where meditation can really work its magic. It's certainly true that we become more capable of coping with negative emotions when we meditate and practice viewing heightened emotions as passing states. So knowing that you're not going to feel this way forever, like, you know, some other emotion is going to come into your heart and mind. But one of the most profound advantages of meditation is that it can not only change our mindset and perspective, it can also physically alter our brains, rewiring them toward more positive thoughts and emotions, which means that you feel better for a larger part of the day. And that's always great. So here's how it works. Meditation can decrease the negative neurological connections to the medial prefrontal cortex, or the ME center of the brain, dampening traits such as fear, stress, and anxiety. Alternatively, it also builds new positive neurological connections to the parts of the brain responsible for promoting traits like focus and decision-making. In addition, research shows that gray matter, the area of the brain responsible for emotional regulation, for planning and problem solving, as well as the cortical thickness responsible for learning and memory, both increase with regular meditation practice. Alternatively, the amygdala, which regulates how we feel stress, fear, and anxiety, responds to meditation by shrinking. And that's really important. So research confirms that this rewiring of the brain through meditation can change it for the better. In one study, participants who meditated with the Headspace app for just 3 weeks experienced a 57% reduction in aggression. Boy, we know a lot of people who could use that right now. And reactivity to negative feedback. So in another 10 days of meditation, participants reduced irritability by 27%. And we really have to watch ourselves right now, because when we're under a lot of stress over a long period of time, it makes us more irritable. And so the things, just getting through our daily routine, can be difficult. Or when you're interacting with people, you have to really watch your attitude. And that's why I'm just really promoting meditation right now. So meditation reduces the negativity in our lives, and it expands the positive emotions, so you feel better in the moment. You can also feel a sense of control, because you can distance yourself from reactivity and getting caught up in a negativity swirl into the abyss of pain and shame and dysfunctional thinking, which all of us are more apt to be vulnerable to during this time. So you can take charge of how you want to respond to any given situation by, you know, being curious about how you meditate. You can stay in the flow of the river of life instead of trying to always go upstream. All right, so after you do meditation for a while, and I've been doing this since I took a meditation course a year before I got married. Every Wednesday, I met with a meditation group, and we went through an audio cassette tape series. Yeah, it was back in the day. And ever since that year-long experience, it helped me to, because I was really scared about getting married. Growing up in a severely dysfunctional home was very traumatizing, and I did not want to marry the wrong partner. And so I really enjoyed dating and getting to know a lot of people, because it helped me to understand, you know, who am I compatible with? You know, what is it I really want? And so after I met Matthew, it just felt, you know, very natural being together. And so I wanted to be the best person that I could in our marriage together. And frankly, it has really helped me to, you know, have dysfunctional moments instead of, you know, setting up our marriage and our life as, you know, dysfunctional. So that we work on our communication, and we also call us on dysfunctional patterns that we're bringing up with each other in our relationship, and having permission to just, you know, both decide that you want to rid yourselves of dysfunction and team together is really powerful when you're going toward a higher goal. And the same in business. You want to circle yourself with people that are you're aiming for, you know, the higher goal together, and that you can get rid of a lot of dysfunction around that, you know, and misunderstandings and a lack of trust when you have a really strong foundation of working toward common goals. So right before now, we get into the five enemies of meditation and how to get rid of them, I would like to introduce today's sponsor of Sally Doyle, who has sponsored many of our podcasts. Thanks, Sally. Sally just rebranded her company to Great Lakes Bookkeeping. Great Lakes Bookkeeping not only provides relief from the boring and tedious bookkeeping tasks, but also uses the information as a roadmap to advise owners of opportunities that can help their business. With over 20 years of experience and expertise, owners trust Sally to help them achieve their goals and dreams. Now, we've learned in past conversations that small business owners are not doing cash flow projections. So right now, you can reach Sally to get a profit analysis and cash flow projections projecting out for the next year or two, so you can get a handle on your finances over the next year. It's really critical right now, right? So call Sally to get your financial future under control. Great Lakes Bookkeeping, 1-651-208-8151, or you can just click on the link for Great Lakes Bookkeeping. All right, so here we go. The five enemies of meditation and how to overcome them. The first one is sloth energy. Now, I thought in of itself, it was just like having a heavy body, but it's actually about laziness. You know, we just don't want to do it. We don't want to do the meditation. These five enemies I found through yoga teacher training that I did in, 2015, something like that. And I've added, I couldn't find the author to it, but I've added some pieces to it because I wanted to give you some information about what do you do when you're feeling super lazy. Well, the best thing to do, or you're feeling like your body's heavy, like you almost might, fall asleep, I would suggest that you take, so you no matter what, you do your meditation. So sit and you can take harder breaths, or what you can do is stand up and come back to it, but avoid going to sleep because that will not help with your meditation practice. And if you need the sleep, just sleep. In my We Meditate with Nancy lab number 3, the third session, I worked put it together to address this, a moving meditation so that you can get a handle on the energies around you to move them so that you can concentrate on the energy within. So if you're feeling that right now, just do Meditation Lab 3, and that will help you get the energy moving so that you can focus inward. The second enemy of meditation is restlessness. And this comes about, like you might notice this, I think it was in the second lab where I just found like I had a lot of energy around me. I was trying to sort out if I was agitated, but I didn't, and I didn't really, I noticed it while I was doing it. And then I noticed I kind of got centered because it was kind of a natural thing. This has happened before to me. But when I was taping, I didn't notice it as much until I watched it back. And I thought, oh, you know, it'd be good for you to tape yourself while you're meditating to see what kind of energy you're bringing. I had a different perspective on it. But restlessness can come from, an internal agitation, or you have a little, energy. Maybe your eyes are fluttering, or maybe you've had too much electronics or too much outside stimulation. And so if you're feeling that, what you can do is don't give it importance. So just allow yourself to just be still and work with strong determination to not move. One of my yoga teachers always said that. I always love that. Work with strong determination to not move. Observe your restless feelings. Remember, everything is impermanent, so you can just allow it to float by, any of your restless feelings. The third enemy of meditation is craving. So you're looking or wishing for something pleasant that isn't there. You're craving, like right now, you might be craving normalcy, or just get rid of the frickin' mask. You just want to. I mean, some people are really doing that, and it's not helpful to any of us when we're out in public. But we're doing it for other people and ourselves. Like it's a protection. But anyways, it's normal for us to be craving the life that we used to have. And craving is a very, very dangerous state of mind because it keeps you, wanting to have something that you can't have right now. So it bumps you out of your state of well-being, your present state. So what can you do about it? Well, one thing you can do is to put the focus on the breathing and allow the cravings to just subside. So you can almost like feel the craving just leave you, leave your thoughts, leave your mind, leave your body. Or if you're in an addiction, and you're getting sober, or you're trying to manage your eating, or, all of us are doing more things to try to maintain our sanity right now. And so your body might physically be craving a substance. So it's important right now to just put focus on an intention on the breathing and just allow yourself to feel comforted by each breath. And you can try that out when we do our 10-minute meditation in a few minutes. The fourth enemy of meditation is aversion. This is where we try to avoid or ignore the unpleasant. Now, what I found is sometimes, number two, restlessness. Sometimes I'm restless because I'm doing number four. I'm trying to avoid or ignore something unpleasant. You know, I'm trying to like, oh my God, I'm starting to notice that my body is feeling some deep emotions and I have to decide whether or not I want them to come up. So most of us have an aversion that comes up during the time in which we're meditating at some point because we're not, you know, always happy when we're meditating. So part of what happens is you're not wanting to sit with uncomfortable feelings. So fixating on the pain instead of focusing on your breathing is what many of us do. And this can send you into a tailspin quickly. And also, you might notice when you're feeling a lot of deep fear about the future or the past or just what's going on financially. And so what can you do with aversion? Well, acknowledge the aversion and continue focusing on your breath. So as you're noticing, you know, it's kind of a repetitive pattern. But if you, it takes a bit of practice. You know, this is exercising a muscle. So pain is as temporary as joy and suffering. So just like joy, you know, you wish, that's what I try to focus on, like, how long can I expand the joy that I'm feeling? And how, you know, how can I get quicker to what the fear is and identify it for myself? So I make a little game out of it. And that is really helpful when you're dealing with a lot of pain that's coming up and giving yourself some confident feelings that you can get through yourself. This situation. So you tell yourself your feelings are your friends. All right. Yeah, maybe you've got a mad friend. Maybe you've got a very fearful friend that's showing up. And if you think about them in terms of friends and different types of friends and labeling them as that, you're receiving good information that you can use to help you with understanding that these feelings are normal and that they're natural and that you're going to have a range of feelings based on what you're experiencing throughout, you know, the day. So wherever you are, there you are. And being with whatever emotion while you're with it, it's not going to last forever, but it'll give you a little piece of, if you look for information about fear or anger, you know, you can find it. You can find it and it'll empower you to have that little piece of information because then you can decide what you want to do with it. But if that occurs while you're, you know, if these emotions are coming up while you're meditating, I like to just identify the feelings and then let them go by and then tell myself that I will come back and address the, you know, what I need to do about the emotion, if anything, when I'm finished with the meditation. So that empowers you to be in charge of your emotional self. And the last one, the last enemy is doubt. So doubt can paralyze you from working more deeply. Areas where we doubt can creep in. Like maybe you're questioning your practice in a way that stops progress into self-exploration. Maybe you doubt your mentor or the teacher that's bringing you the meditation. Or if you're meditating on your own without a teacher, then that won't fit. So you don't have to worry about that. But other self barriers and blockages that you put up for ourselves are like self-sabotage, like I can't do this, I can't sit still, or I can't take in a light, or the background of the video that the person, you know, is doing the video in isn't quite right. Well, all those are forms of self-sabotage, and they create doubt in your mind and discount the benefits that you could potentially experience if you just work through this part. Also, perfectionism can come into play where you get obsessed, you know, which is part of the self-sabotage, like, you know, not having a perfect environment to sit in. But meditation you can do anywhere. I've done it in parks. I've done it in lakes, swimming, not where I'm drowning, but I mean, you can focus on something and swim toward it and be in a meditative state. You can walk and do it. You can have loud noises around you and still do your meditation. So, you know, just allow yourself to be a little bit, you know, creative and allow your meditation practice to evolve as you shift and change. Maybe you need a different type of meditation or whatever it is, work to stay strong in your meditation technique. Give it the test of time so you can kind of allow the benefits to be noticeable. You can release the counterproductive thinking and replace negativity with affirmative thoughts. So I'll go through some affirmative thoughts in about a minute when we meditate. So if you have doubt in your mentor, talk with your mentor or teacher. Be curious to uncover exactly what is going on. Hopefully your mentor will be curious to sort out what is and isn't working for you too. Maybe you need more experiences to build trust. Maybe you need another mentor. Maybe you're feeling vulnerable and exposed and unsure of the process. Maybe you need reassurance that you're on the right path to strengthen who you are and explore aspects of yourself that are new to you. Whatever the case may be, do what you need to do. Muster up the courage to have the conversation you need to have and return to your meditation practice. I find it necessary to sort out when hurt surfaces during a meditation, to ask myself, do I need to do something to make amends, or do I need to send that person healing, energy, and loving kindness? Sometimes in relationships that have been very harmful, a natural thing is either somebody wants to do nothing about it or they want to do something about it, which doing something can maybe be the total wrong thing to do, but you can't absolutely do nothing. So I have found it very empowering to just sit with loving and healing energy and loving kindness and send that to a person in a deliberate way for a number of days. That's very helpful. And engaging my curious self, you know, to figure out what the next best step is. You can also make a mental note and return to meditating, you know, like I mentioned, highlight the feeling and then tell yourself you'll come back to sorting that out in a little bit more depth later or not at all. But give yourself permission to come back to your breath over and over and over again. All right, so those are the five enemies of meditation. We've got sloth energy, you know, get that heavy laziness out of your body and breathe and meditate. Restlessness, craving, aversion, and doubt. So those things really can play havoc on a good practice, meditation practice that you've started. So just notice when those show up and tell yourself you can do something about it. All right, so find yourself in a comfortable position, whether you're on a chair or whether you're cross-legged on the floor. Make sure that you've got your hips above your knees so that you can your lower back is not feeling any strain whatsoever. And if you've got your feet on the floor, just squeeze your toes. And if you're sitting, you can also just squeeze your toes and press your thighs down. Or if you're in the chair, you can just push on your feet a little bit, kind of wake up your feet and then put your hands on your lap and feel that the support underneath your hands. You can bring your first index finger together or your second finger toward your thumb with your palms up, or you can have your palms up without any fingers touching. And just slowly allow yourself to notice your breath. The steady flow of in and out. Notice your shoulders move up, around, and back. Just relax into your shoulders. Notice your Buddha belly expanding. And then exhaling, shrinking. And expanding. Notice your cheekbones Relax them. Relax your brain. Work so hard all the time. Relax your ears and earlobe. We're hearing things 24 hours a day, every single day, all of our lives. Our ears are so precious to us. You can even say a little thank you to your ears. Just bring your chin down to your chest. Just roll it back and forth a little bit. Release any tension in your neck. Then hold your head back up and put it in its socket with your chin slightly down. Just continue breathing while you're doing all of this. Noticing relaxing your shoulders. Feeling the firmness of your spine, holding your back in place and your body straight. The top of your head is straight. You can feel your tailbone supporting the weight, all the bones supporting the muscles. Just start saying to yourself, I'm excited to explore more about how I think and feel. Everything coming to me is good information that I can use. My mind is a safe place to be. I trust myself. I trust the decisions I make. I'm thoughtful. I think through things. I think the benefit, what would be if for the greater good of all. I like my inner sanctuary. Equanimity begins here and ripples outward. I can feel my inner sanctuary and the energy within. And I can spread the energy outside myself to all the loved ones and everyone I interact with throughout the day or through the screen. Energy can be picked up through the screen. I feel content being with myself. I am enough. Every feeling I have is valid and giving me information that I can use. I have the inner strength to create the life that will work for me. I am able to generate the income that I need to support myself, my loved ones, and others that I work with. I am grateful for moments like this. I am deepening my presence in the world. I am shaping my future and letting go of what I don't need anymore. Now take a breath in. Hold it for 5 counts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then slowly let them out through, let the breath out through your nose. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do that a few more times. Inhale to the count of 5. And exhale to the count of 5. Be confident that you can hold your breath without grasping. Your body can hold the air. And then slowly breathe it out through your nose with sealed lips. Notice the texture of your breath. Is it warm or cool? Can you feel it on the top of your lip? With ease, squeeze your toes and move your fingers just gently. Maybe you can take your thumb across the tops of your fingertips. You can squeeze your hand in a gentle fist and release. You can push your legs down. You can move your body, kind of do like at your waist, a circle going to the right and forward, around and back. Do that to the right first and then go to the left. And then gently come back together to the room, being present. Give yourself a lot of credit for doing this. If you need a longer meditation, just allow yourself to shut off this conversation and further meditate. Or if you're finding that you need sleep, go rest. Or if you're finding that you've harnessed some extra energy, then go do. But do it all deliberately. So thank you for tuning in today. Keep deepening your meditation practice. You're worth the effort. There's many of us who are doing it with you, especially on the day that you're listening to this. And thank you, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frere, brother from another mother. Thank you for being here and doing the meditation with me, with our listeners. And thank you for tuning in. Have a great Monday. See you next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor Self-Leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy at wementor.com, or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.